I had a sermon prepared for this morning. I was up last night finishing it off, writing notes. You can take your seats if you want, but I just want us to remain in this atmosphere of worship. And then I woke about 3 o'clock this morning and clearly heard God, just one line in my head. And so I'm just going to be brave and go with it. I don't have notes for this. So I don't know, I might talk for 5 minutes, I don't know. But I just want to be obedient to God. Those of you who know me are laughing, I saw that laugh. Will she be 5 minutes or will she be a bit longer? So I don't know, I just said to Mary Jane, can we just go with this? So Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. You're so welcome here. So thankful for these guys. Aren't they leading us beautifully this morning? Yeah, really beautiful. I woke up in the early hours of the morning, and you're really going to have to bear with me because there's no flow, there's no structure. If you're here for the first time, welcome. I'm going to be honest with you, it hurts my pride, this, because I'd like to give you a really well-structured theological sermon now, because I'm learning a few things at college. So I've got notes right down there, and I could give you some stuff. I was going to speak a bit around Galatians, but I'm just going to be obedient, and I don't know. This is what I felt the Lord say, and what we're going to do, I'm going to share a little bit, but if you guys, I'd just stay close, you know me, I'd actually like continuous music, but I appreciate that's an awful lot. So it's okay, we'll leave it. But just please be prepared. Is that all right? That's great. This is what I felt the Lord say to me at 3 o'clock this morning, and I did quickly just grab my phone. And so this isn't a sermon, this is just what I felt him say. Forgive me if I get a bit emotional. You need to change your seat to get a better view. You need to change your seat to get a better view. Some of you can't see clearly. And all you have to do is change your seat. You just need to do something different. What are you looking at right now? Have you got a massive head in front of you? Let me put some context to that. We were at conference 10 days ago or something like that, and we were up in a massive conference centre in Harrogate, and Gareth, Mary Jane and myself, and wherever we were sitting, irrelevant really, but there was a massive head in front of me, and I couldn't see. You know when you're doing that? So what did I do? Change seats. Just said, I'm not going to sit here. So I just got up and moved. Really simple, you say. What's significant about that? I think it's really profound. Some of you have got a head in front of you. You can't see. So why the heck are you still sitting in that seat? It's just time to move seats. It's not rocket science. But for some of you, it's become rocket science because you're so wedded to your seat. You know, you're so wedded to your chair. This is my chair, and I've always sat in this chair. And so what you do is you get, oh God, help me to stay calm. You get really annoyed with the head in front of you. You know, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. Chop your head off. Huh? Yeah. You know, if only they'd move their lovely head. God says there's nothing wrong with their head. It's just move your seat. So what's the head that's in the way of your view? What is it? What's getting in your way? What's getting in your way? Let me just read a couple of scriptures. I'm really sorry. I'm aware I'm not coming across like an amazing preacher this morning. But I just bear with me. I'm feeling something so strongly, but I'm struggling to articulate what I'm feeling. So, Harbour Church, it's time to move our seats. It's just time to move our seats. All you've got to do is move your seat. I feel like God would say to you, it really is not that hard. You're making it harder than it is. You think it's hard. It's not hard. Just got to move your seat. Let me just read a couple of passages, because during the worship, I was going, God, I can't just stand up and say that. Please give me a passage. And he's very kind to me. Can I tell you something? He's very kind to you too. God is kind. If you ask, you will receive. You have not because you ask not. So God is very kind to me. And so I'm standing there going, give me a scripture, Lord. Give me a story. And he did. He gave me two. First one we find in Luke chapter 10. So for those of you that really like a good Bible passage, Luke chapter 10. This is a shorter one, and then I'm going to read a slightly longer one. Story of Mary and Martha. I've preached on this so many times, and can I tell you, I'm going to say it again, it's hard when you're a preacher because you want to come out with all the points that might impress everyone, and I happen to just lay that all aside right now. This is what the Lord's saying right now on this passage. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. Let me tell you what I think Jesus was really saying to her. Martha, stop moaning about the head in front of you and move your seat. She had as much right to sit at Jesus' feet as Mary. She was invited. She was the friend. I have to be careful now that I don't go into a sermon on this. There's loads you can say on Mary and Martha. You know, Martha's not the baddie, you know. Martha had a lot of faith. In another story, she was sort of trumping Mary over that. So this isn't a who's better. But in this context, Jesus just wanted to say to her, will you just, Martha, stop it. Just stop it. I know there's a head in front of you. Move your seat. You have a choice. You can pick up your seat and you can move it. Because if you move it, you'll start to see clearly. Some of you can't see. And you're blaming everything and everyone. And so you can't see. But if you move your seat, you'll be able to see. Let me just talk to you for a minute about worship. Because change your seat for a better view. What's the view? The view isn't you. It never was. It never will be. The view isn't you. I know you're brilliant, and I know you're lovely, and I know you're created in the image of God, and I know there's so much to celebrate about you, and I hate to burst your bubble, but the view isn't you. And I say that with all the love in the world. The view isn't me. The view is Jesus. There is only one who is worth gazing at. There is only one who is more beautiful beyond description, and his name is Jesus. There is only one who gets my gaze. His name is Jesus. And I'm aware that sitting in a place like this, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're like, oh, Sarah, he hasn't got my gaze. It's okay. This isn't me beating you up. It's me just going, move your seat. Move your seat. Because I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. This is the truth. You will never be complete until your gaze is on him. Never. We live in a self-obsessed world right now. How's that working out? I mean, Josh, you said that in the town on Good Friday, right? I loved that. How's that working out for you? Pretty good. Not. I don't think we've ever been as messed up. Don't you feel for these young kids? I wouldn't want to go back and be their age again. I know some of you think, anyway, it's not better. Wouldn't mind a few less grey hairs and all of that, but. We need to pray for these guys, church. Yeah? There is only one. There is only one. Do you know why the Bible says, and Jesus said it, worship the Lord your God and him alone? Is it because God's got a massive ego? Some people think that. Well, he's just got a massive ego. We're just worshiping him because of his ego. Can I tell you why he said it? He said it because he knows that we've got massive egos. And in order to silence our egos, we need to worship him, because there is only one who will lead us to freedom and liberty and truth and joy and delight, and his name is Jesus. Can I ask you something? How much have you worshipped him this week? That's not condemnation, but you know what? I almost don't care if it does bug you a little bit. Good. And I'm not saying it because I want you to do anything to please me. I don't care. I don't care about what it does for me. I care what it does for you. You will only be free when you worship Jesus. There is no other message. It's the only way to be free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And Mary, she just worshipped. And Martha sat in front of her head and moaned about it. And all she had to do was get out of her seat and sit down. What are you moaning about? What's the head in front of you? I can't see, I can't see, I can't see. Just move, just move, just move. For crying out loud. Just move. I hate Satan. Anyone else? This self-obsessed world that we live in. It's all about how you feel, how you feel, how you feel, how you feel. Glad Jesus didn't go to the cross on how he felt. Anyone else? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Decided I will be a worshiper of Jesus. What was I saying? Worship the Lord your God and him alone. It's not for God's benefit. I understand, I haven't looked it up, and I've just heard it somewhere that I think C.S. Lewis really struggled with that. If I'm making that up, we'll just pretend it sounds good anyway. As in his journey of faith before he surrendered and gave his life to Jesus, I think C.S. Lewis really struggled with the concept of, you know, has God just got a massive ego? Is that right? Yeah, Gareth's nodding at me. Worship sets you free. It sets you free. So I love our singing. You guys, just thank you this morning. We're going to continue in a minute. Worship sets you free. Some of you right now, while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, and you need to already be moving to a different seat. Some of you just need to do it. You need to, by faith, don't worry about what people think of you. You need to, by faith, move from that side to that side or that side. There's enough empty seats. If you want to, shove somebody out of their seat. We need to act out what the Spirit's saying to us. God, I'm not going to keep sitting in the same view. Let's look at my second story. A couple of pages back in the book of Luke. God, we want to see you. Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Oh, I bet that was the finest china, don't you think? I bet that wasn't beans on toast. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt. She broke that jar. She pours it out. What was she doing? She was fixing her gaze on Jesus. He alone is lovely, beautiful beyond description. And what happens? They start judging her. Why were they judging her? Because all they could see was the head. Stupid woman. What's she doing? Wasting her money? If you don't move your seat, you're going to get more critical, more negative, more resentful, more bitter. It's time to move your seat. It's time to move your seat. God won't force you. You can stay where you are. You can stay looking behind a head, but you won't see anything. It's time to move your seat. So what do? They start criticising. What's this woman doing? It's hilarious that Judas, the treasurer, he gets proper upset, doesn't he? If you know the story. That perfume could have been sold. Stupid woman. Can you hear him? Probably a few words that I shouldn't say in church. Do you know what? I think Jesus just looked and he just said, well, let me tell you what he said. He said this, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, or some of you, I'm sorry, but you're going to hear me say this. Holy Spirit, if it doesn't come from you, it can't be Sarah's words. But this is a word for some of you. When I entered your home, you didn't even offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But this woman has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. When I entered your home, you didn't even greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. This is ouchy stuff. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. Christian, are you hearing me? This is ouchy stuff. Is it landing on anyone or is it just me? Maybe it's just me. You've neglected it. You haven't done it. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And then Jesus turned to this woman and said, your sins are forgiven. And the men start grumbling again. Who is this man? Because all they could see was a head. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I want to tell you that I've sat too much of my life in front of a head. I've spent too many years looking at a head. Well, if only that head would move. If only that head would move. That head's my problem. If that head would move, and God would say, Sarah, if you will just move seats, if you will just have the courage to move to a different seat, forget that head, move to a different seat. And if you move to a different seat, as uncomfortable as that may be, you'll begin to see clearly. You'll get a better view of the one who changes everything. And I don't know what you're looking at right now, but it is time to move seats for a better view. And I just pray that one person at least in here this morning gets it. I pray that we get it. I pray we get it. I'm nearly done. I'm just going to write down the stuff I wrote early in the early hours. Is that all right? Maybe that's just the best way to go. Imagine I'm texting you. This is what I'm texting you. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see. It's the cry of my heart. God, I just want to see you. My eyesight's not as great as it used to be. Anyone else like me? 50's looming and the body's feeling it. I want my spiritual sight to get clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. I want a reversal to happen, that as my body starts to decay, my spirit is more alive than it's ever been. Is there anyone who would say amen to that? And it's not just a wishful hope, I'm living for it. I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. Because there is only one sight worth having, and that's spiritual sight. Do you realize that in the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning, as soon as they took the fruit, do you know what happened? Their eyes were shut. Not their physical eyes, their spiritual eyes. It says it. You go and read it in Genesis. It's there. Do you know what happened when Jesus came? We're going to break bread soon and celebrate this. Do you know what happened when Jesus came? He came to open our eyes. He said, I've come to open the eyes of the blind. He's not talking physical eyes. I mean, sometimes that happens. There's a miracle. He's not talking that. He's talking spiritual eyes. He's coming to open our eyes that we might see him. Because I want to tell you again, until you see him, you will always be incomplete. Always, but when you see him, oh, you begin to journey towards wholeness. In his presence is fullness of joy. That's not just wishful thinking, it's the Bible, it's the truth. Oh, that we might see him. Oh, that we might see him. Oh, that we might see him. And if you can't see him right now, I want to tell you it's time to move your seat. Have you ever seen... rather than me being all analytical about it, Facebook, right? Looking through. To be honest, Katie, it happened on whatever Sunday. What was that? Sarah, come on, your brain. Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, Katie got up super early, went down to the beach. Stunning picture of the beach. Sunrise, that's it, sunrise. And just yesterday, I was looking through something, and I saw, I don't know who it was, anyway, I saw another picture. And you know when you see those pictures, you go, oh, I wish I'd seen that. You ever think, oh, so I can remember when Katie sent me this picture, I was like, oh, I wish I'd gone down and seen that. I keep saying I'm going to get up for a sunrise, but I'm just too lazy, I'm just not doing it. See, that's the key. That's the key right there. Right there. Stop looking at somebody else's picture and going, I wish I could see that view. Do something about it. Set your alarm a little bit earlier, Sarah. Take a flask of tea and go and watch it. Stop saying, but that head's in the way. Stop looking at everybody else and say, well, they've got a great view. They've got a great view. You can have a great view too if you'll do something about it. Are you understanding the analogy? Is it comfortable? Thank you, Lottie. It's not for me either. You know that. Lottie, you lived with us for a year. There's not much you didn't see, is there, love? Can I tell you something about this girl? She's such a worshipper. Sorry. You can't have someone live with you for a year and not observe. Every day, her music blaring out. Worship, worship, worship. Not blaring. No, not like you blare it. Honestly, you go in the car with Gareth, it's like... No wonder he's deaf. I mean, honestly. Am I still in the prophetic or am I going off a bit now? I'm going off a bit. Every day, in the shower, sorry. Worship, constantly. I never heard anything else. It's not because you're amazing, it's because he's amazing. And I just suspect it's because you know that you're unhinged if you don't do that. Am I right? I'm unhinged if I don't do it. Every day I'm listening to worship. Every single day. I know I'm a musician. I know I like music. So what? We are all created to worship Jesus. So listen, whether you've been a Christian 5 minutes or you've been a Christian 50 years, stir up the habit. Can I tell you something? The enemy hates it. So he'll have you listening to anything else. Worship will cause you to gaze on him. It will do something to you. Anyone like him, birthday month songs? Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, do you? Every day on Facebook, I'm posting up a song that brings me joy because it's about the one who is my joy. It's my greatest delight. Shall I give you a heads up what today's song is going to be? I will come and bow down at your feet, Lord Jesus. In your presence is fullness of joy. There is nothing, there is no one who compares with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. What's your song for the day? What's your song? If Gareth did it, it would be Petra. Old Petra. Our music taste is ridiculously different. I don't care what your music taste is. I care who you're worshipping. I care who you're worshipping. Worship the Lord. I'm repeating myself a little bit now. I'm reading what I've put. Is that okay? I wrote this about 3 o'clock this morning. Not for God's sake. For your sake. Put me first. Love me. Is there something wrong with God's ego? No, I've put loads of exclamation marks. But there is something wrong with yours. I was talking about me, okay. But I'm talking about you. So for your sake, God says, worship me. Seek me, look to me. For your sake. I want us to get that this morning, because in his presence is fullness of joy. That's the truth. And it's why the enemy will do all he can to keep us from his presence. His big lie, I'd forgotten I'd put this. His big lie is making you think it's a religious practice you can be free from. I'm trying to work out what I was saying early hours. Yeah, I do know what I was saying. Come on, there's something in this. His big lie, I know why I wrote that. We need to have, one of my lecturers calls them holy habits. Holy habits in our life. Prayer, worship. Gareth spoke about the habit of giving last week. Come on, being together. Hebrews says, do not neglect meeting together. Well done for being here. Those of you at home, get here next week. We need to be here. Some of you are shattered beyond belief because of the wedding yesterday, but you're here. Well done. We need to be here. And some of you have been fighting for so long. Oh, but that feels religious. That feels religious. That feels religious. That's the biggest lie of the enemy. There's a lot of stuff like that he's trying to trip us up with. Oh, I'm free. I can just do what I like. And we misunderstand what freedom is. That's not the freedom that Paul's talking about in Galatians. Should I get onto my preach now? Don't panic. I won't. That's not the freedom he's talking about. We've turned it into some crazy thing. Oh, I'm free. I can do what I like. Oh, I'm free. I don't have to go to that prayer meeting because I'm free. What a load of rubbish. How about getting some habits in your life that will place you where God wants you to be so that actually your gaze is on him so that then you're free. But we've turned it into, oh no, and some of you right now are going, oh Sarah, you're binding me up in some religious stuff. No, I'm not. That's what the enemy does. If you want to talk to me about this, come and talk to me. I don't actually have time, but I would love to talk to you about all of this. It's important and it matters. It bothers me. Parents, it bothers me. It bothers me for a generation. Can I just go off piece 1 minute? when we were at conference, I was walking down the road on my own early in the morning to the conference, and I just was beginning to think, I'd got up early, I was tired, and I was like, oh God, I'm tired, and could have just stayed in bed, and you know, I was sort of having this little chat with God, and I was mulling over this whole thing again about, oh, am I being religious, am I being religious? And I was going through all of this sort of, you know, where's my brother, where's Simon? He's there. Like Simon would tell you, like we grew up pretty strict, didn't we, you know? And so I battle this all the time. Am I slipping into my religiousness? Am I being legalistic? And that's a good dialogue for me to have. I need to keep checking myself all the time. All right? It's a good dialogue. But I suddenly had this moment of going, do you know what? It wasn't all bad. Because those disciplines and those rhythms actually establish something in my life that keep me steady. And I'm a bit tired of apologizing for them. I'm a little bit tired of just thinking, oh, I'm some legalistic idiot. Because just maybe some of those holy habits that might not have all had the best intention and they might not have all been brilliant, but just maybe I'm here today because of them. Is anyone hearing me? And so do you know what? I'm not so super strict on my kids. But I want to tell you, I want to be one of those people that say, as for me and my house. I want to be the kind of person that shows up to the prayer meeting when I don't feel like it. Because do you know what? It's a good thing to go to a prayer meeting. And I know I'm free. God won't smite me. I'm not going because I'm scared of God. There's some habits that we just need to cultivate because they're good for us. They're good for us. I'm not a massive fan of fruit and veg, but I know it's good for me. I'd rather eat biscuits all day long. Literally. But it's not good for me. And just maybe we need to re-establish some holy habits. And I'm talking to myself now because I'm tired of apologizing for it. I'm tired of feeling that I've got to be all soft with everyone, all soft, all soft, all soft. Because just maybe you need some habits in your life so that your gaze is in the right direction. Just maybe you need to shift your chair a little bit so that you can see. Just maybe you need to establish the discipline again so that you're looking in the right direction and not looking in the wrong direction. Is anyone hearing me? Am I ranting? They're beautifully making me stop in a minute and I love it. Did I say 5 minutes? Did I say 5 minutes? I just don't want to. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to miss what I wrote. I am shutting up in a minute, Mary Jane. I promise you. Do what you like. Do what you like. Yeah. Help me. Help me.
I just wanted to just add and just share. So we're at a conference, and Sarah moved her seat. She's been talking about a big head, and I've kind of just. Like God's been saying, I need to share this because where I sat wasn't a big head, but there was like a camera filming. It was a big tripod. So if you imagine like the tripod legs, which you can kind of partially see. And I've just been sat here and just felt like God was saying, actually, for some of us, it's not necessarily a big head,
yeah,
but we're partially seeing. And I kind of stuck it out for a bit, but I was just like, actually, no, it's, I can't see. I want to see full. I just wanted to share that as a sense for some of us, let's not be satisfied
that's
with
good.
A partial
really, really
sight.
Good. Really good.
And I'm sat here going, yeah, do you know what, actually, God, I want the fullness, the full visual sight. So don't settle for a partial. I'm just picturing like those tripod legs. Yeah. And you can just see through and you might be there going, well, I haven't got a big head in front of me. You can see a bit.
Yes.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
He wants us to have that full sight.
Come on, love it. Come now, Helen. Come now. MJ, can you just give your mic to Helen? Is that all right?
Yeah, similar really to what Mary Jane was saying, but as Sarah was speaking, I thought whether you've got a big head in front of you or not, wherever you are sat, you have a view. Wherever you are positioned now, It might be of somebody's head. It might be of a vast open space. But, or anything in between. You do have a view. But is that the view you want? Is that the view that you want? Is that your priority? Going back to what Sarah said about the sunrise, we can't do everything. We can't prioritise everything. It's just not possible. We're human beings. So what am I wanting to prioritise? What do I want to be my priority? And how am I going to make space so that that priority is my view? I was at the wedding yesterday. It happens to be my gorgeous niece that got married yesterday. And I had a tearing of priorities at one stage because for the first dance, my husband and daughter were playing the music live for the first dance. So I wanted to be photographing my niece and her lovely husband dancing. But I also wanted to be videoing my husband and daughter performing. And I had to make a decision about what my
to our feet, shall we? And we're going to worship Jesus. I still want to say, if you need to move seats, move seats. If you need to do something, you might want to come here and just kneel at the front. Seriously, I feel like we need to enact out. We need to do something to say, I'm hearing you, Lord. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you.
I just want to say, some of you really do need to move. You sit where you sit because it's defensive. You sit where you sit because you're safe. Well, I want to say you're safe in God's presence anyway. But you need to do something about literally where you sit in the building. Because you know why you sit there. You sit there because you don't want to interact. Or you don't want to be exposed. All of those things. Well, Jesus wants to expose our heart. And I'm going to shut up now and let them play.
To his own, his at the ring.
So through them all, I've just been praying, I want God to change my heart. But just before Sarah started preaching, basically God, the word I've written because I was writing preaching, change is coming. Sometimes if we don't move when God tells us to, actually the view becomes worse. Tim, your fibre that you didn't put in. When God speaks, it's for a reason. I'm just going to leave that with you. And it's not an easy word to share, especially in this atmosphere. But I think receive it in as much as saying, Lord, help me to hear. Help me to recognise a change and help me to see the seat you want me sat in.
I just want to pray, Father God, you are clearly speaking to us. And I just pray that you will do the work. God, that it's your spirit that stirs us. It's your spirit that speaks to us. And so, God, I would just pray over the word that Candy's just brought. Change is coming. For some of us, that excites us. For some of us, it makes fear. But the key is that we keep our view on you. That's the key, God. And I just pray that for each one of us. Holy Spirit, I just want to pray that you will speak to each one of us in our own way, that we will respond in the way that we need to. Holy Spirit, will you stir in us each individually what you're saying to us this morning? But most of all, it's about you, God. It's about fixing our eyes on you. And it's all for your glory. It's all for your honour. It's all for your praise. It's all about you, Jesus. Just in this moment, honor Jesus. Just honor you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for us. We thank you that you died on the cross and you rose again so that we could have that view.